Hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 127, where we basically just are going to be Disney fiends this week, because is there really anything else to talk about right now? No, there is, but there's just too much Disney. Anyway, I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Camille.
And I'm Richard.
And we'll start with the Disney Pixar, since we all agreed that that's the least information. And also maybe the least interesting. No, it's not least interesting.
I did not agree to that. I agreed to
right. I'm just least information.
Yeah, I'm just as hyped.
I have to. I'm the person who's like, yeah, I only care about Marvel. So whatever. So no, I'm kidding. Who actually watched
so which one?
Who actually watched the stream?
Not I.
I watched most of it.
Not
I
had me.
I had to step away from my laptop, of course, during the Marvel presentation for to do like a quick grocery run, because I have to like rely on other people for rides. And of course, the only time they could do it was during the Marvel panel.
Of course.
But I
they
saw,
did that to punish you.
They did. They did. So everyone in the store got to see me freak out during the Marvel announcements. But yeah, I watched the Disney Pixar one. And I watched pretty much the whole thing, starting from when they started announcing stuff on FX to the end.
I didn't, like, I knew it was happening, but I didn't even think about the fact that I could watch it, because I actually do own Disney stock, not much, but I was like, oh, I could actually watch this thing, but, and, like, care. But I didn't actually, until I started, I looked at Facebook, because I was working. I looked at Facebook and saw everybody all of a sudden freaking out about all the Star Wars stuff. And I was like, wait. And then I started looking on Twitter and somebody finally put up a link. And then I watched halfway through Disney, all of Pixar and Marvel, I think. But then, you know, I look away like Matt was watching at the same time. And he's like, oh, Luca looks good. And I totally looked away during that part. So I didn't actually see what he thought that looked so great. I was like, oops. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been really excited about Disney stuff before it came out, right? So, like, I'll see
right.
it, and then if I like it, I'll get excited. Or if people are talking about it, I'll whatever. But I'm not sitting here, like, anticipating Disney films in the same way I do mm-hmm. Star Wars or Marvel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does make sense.
And Yep.
There's still Disney movies I haven't seen from the last 10 years.
What haven't you seen?
I still haven't seen, well, this is Pixar, but I still haven't seen Coco.
Well,
I know.
That is sacrilegious.
You need to fix that right now.
I need to. Whoa. I want to watch it so bad.
I need you to drop out of this call and go watch Coco right now.
I know. I want to see it so bad. What else? I still haven't seen Inside Out.
That's
I know.
Oh, that's a cute one.
You literally haven't seen the two best movies they made in the past like 5 years.
I know. It's terrible. I still haven't seen the new Toy Story.
You're like, I've seen The Good Dinosaur, okay. But I haven't seen
No,
ones.
I haven't seen The Good Dinosaur. I haven't seen that either.
That's fine.
I haven't seen a
that's
lot.
Fine.
Maybe I should be listing what I have seen, because that's actually probably less. The biggest problem I have is because Matt won't watch half of that stuff, and then what little time I have is usually watching stuff we watch together. So, and I some of them I, you know, it was before I was being invited to screenings, and then others I just couldn't make it to. So yeah, I know I need to. I have a very long list. It's bad, but I mean, Matt told me what Luca is, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Just mostly because we love Italy, and then is it Colombia? The other one is
yes,
I can't remember.
Encanto
yeah.
is Colombia.
Encanto. I'm yeah, so Encanto. Excited. Sorry, 30 seconds, and I was dancing.
Yeah.
That's Encanto.
Like, how could you dance for 30 seconds? Just I couldn't help it.
Yeah, Encanto is like Disney proper, so that'll be the next animated film following Raya.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is What's funny to me is watching the panel and seeing like how many celebrities are like across the different brands. So like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is doing Encanto, like obviously he worked on Mary Poppins, and he worked, obviously they did, Disney released Hamilton, but yeah, he's also worked
on Moana and the
Did Moana, and he's doing Little Mermaid. So
he's like their new Menken or Ashman.
Yeah, Bob.
I am on board with that.
Yeah, Bob Iger apparently doesn't have any other musicians' phone number except Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And then, but I hope he gets like actual Colombians to do like the music.
Right,
for
exactly.
Example,
yeah, that's
right?
True. That's true. That's one thing. He's Puerto Rican.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Awkwafina is in both Raya the Last Dragon, so Disney proper, Little Mermaid remake, and Shang-Chi. Mm. So I think Awkwafina just needs to be in a Star Wars project, so she'll have all three major Disney properties.
Maybe she's gonna be in The Mandalorian at one point, or one of the other shows.
Make it happen, Disney. I'd love that. Make her a pilot in Rogue Squadron.
Well, yeah. and Chris Evans is now going to be doing the voice of the predecessor, or the character that Buzz Lightyear's toy is based on.
Isn't he like the young Buzz Lightyear? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just talk about that? Because, like, you know, Valerie, you know how you were saying, like, the normal Disney stuff doesn't get you, like, hyped or anything?
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, by, you know, that stuff is mainly aimed at kids. So, like, you know, that doesn't need to, like, get you hyped for, like, 3 years. But I screamed when I saw the Lightyear logo, and they said they were basically making the movie of like the Buzz Lightyear backstory, so what his toy is based on.
Yeah.
That's the most meta cool thing I've ever heard. And so up my alley. If I could go to Fandango right now and buy tickets, I would. And the fact that Chris Evans is voicing a young Buzz Lightyear is just like, chef's kiss, give it to me now. And I don't want to be a conspiracy nut, but I've looked at that still image of a young Buzz Lightyear for like 10 minutes straight, and in the reflection on his screen, I think the visual motif they're going for is Space Mountain, because it's got like the red like circles, you know how when you're going through Space Mountain and you're about to take off.
Ooh,
so
that would be amazing.
I'm,
just don't change Space Mountain to be a Toy Story ride, otherwise
Don't change it to make a Toy Story ride. But if you want to do like a season of Toy Story, like they do with that Star Wars stuff, I'm okay with that. You know, I'll go on the Buzz Lightyear version of Space Mountain for a month
if we ever get to go to the park again. Yes, Space Mountain is my favorite ride, so I'm like, yes, I like it. But I actually get annoyed when they keep the Star Wars thing for too long, because I'm like, can I have my regular Space Mountain back?
It would be like if they made like Big Thunder Mountain, if they like every like other week changed it to like the Lone Ranger.
Hopefully this movie would be better than that, so I guess you wouldn't mind quite as much. But yeah. but anyway, yes. Lightyear is probably the one thing that I was like, okay, obviously Chris Evans, you've got me. I mean, duh. but now he needs to be in a Star Wars property is where I was going with this, because
there you go,
he can do that too. And then we have all these conspiracy theories, which is going to get into the Marvel thing, but like, because we were saying it before, we were like, okay, he wanted a break, give him a break, but you know, give him other things to keep him in the family, like let him direct something, because obviously that's what he wants to do. Let him direct something, nothing huge, because you know he's not tested, but let him direct something. And then, you know, we have Kang coming. So in sometime in like 5 or 10 years, get some of the people back
there
for cameos, please.
I mean, Favreau, Filoni, give Chris Evans a call. Let him direct an episode of The Mandalorian or Rangers of the New Republic or literally anything. Like, that's a good testing ground.
Anything. Just please. There you go.
That'd be fun.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, there was a lot of Disney+.
Yeah, a lot of shows announced. They really expanding the animated show content, because we're getting a Baymax show, a Tatiana show,
a Tatiana show.
I've actually never seen.
And
I've
a
actually,
Moana show.
I've actually only seen Princess and the Frog once when it was like,
oh my gosh,
in theaters. It's a good movie, and I know I need to watch it. There's that one.
There's Zootopia Plus.
Zootopia Plus.
Right.
And then The one that kind of like struck my eye was that obviously we all knew they were doing the Mighty Ducks show, but
yeah.
It's funny watching the trailer and seeing how much of it is like, all right, Disney, someone at Disney was like, we need our Cobra Kai.
Right, that's true.
Which,
I didn't realize there was actually a trailer. Now I'm going to watch that. I missed that part.
Yeah, that was like the one of the few trailers they actually showed. Like they would always like, there were certain things that they would cut from like, you know, that were only for investors. So, like, we didn't get to see what, like, the Turner and Hooch show looked like or anything like that.
Oh, God.
look, Disney's got that big catalog. They're gonna make shows out of everything.
See, throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
I mean, you never know. Again, I don't think anyone expected Cobra Kai, you know, to be such a huge hit. So Disney,
especially because it wasn't when it was on YouTube.
Yeah,
Netflix.
No one wanted to sign up for YouTube. But
yeah,
like,
thing. Yeah, YouTube Premium was just a failure in and of itself. But Netflix really brought Cobra Kai to life.
I had YouTube Premium because I have the it was Google Play Music and now it's YouTube Music. I have that and I've been grandfathered in like at the $7.99 rate since they started. So we both have it. And so I had YouTube Premium and I still think I watched like 2 episodes of Origin and that was the only thing I watched on it. Oops. But so the Mighty Ducks, I was obsessed with that movie when it came out.
Were you really?
Because I was the right age. I was a teenager and it was a bunch of like teenage boys. So I was obsessed with that movie, even though I don't care anything about hockey. But yes, I was. Yeah. But I guess I would watch the show. Maybe. I don't know. It was kind of its moment. And I'm not sure that I need more of it. Although I'm excited that Emilio Estevez is actually going to be back.
Right.
Yeah, good for him. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in a Star Wars show.
I don't remember the Mighty Ducks at all, so I'm definitely not. That's not one of the things I'm more excited about. But it is, you know, in line with the revivals that everyone is doing right now. Which reminds me that Saved by the Bell just like came. It just happened, and the only reason I knew it happened is because Respect Selena Gomez was trending. And I was like, oh. But yeah.
Is that why that was a thing?
Oh, wait, y'all don't know? Okay, no. So listen. Listen. In one of the episodes of Saved by the Bell, which I guess it makes sense in context because it's like supposed to be, it's like really satirical and it's just showing how little the kids care or whatever. It's very much not like, it's not your parents Saved by the Bell, okay? anyway, so there was like, for some reason on the walls, it was like written like, does Selena Gomez even have a kidney? And there was just like rumors going around about like what really happened with her kidney, you know, because she had lupus and so she had a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
And so they were like, was it Justin Bieber's mom or was it Demi Lovato who gave her the kidney? Yeah, it was just like so weird because I was like, this isn't funny. This is just really strange that anyone would be thinking about this, first of all. And B, like, she literally had lupus. Like, just fun of her disease. So
and her best friend gave her a kidney, right?
Yeah, it was another someone who is not Demi Lovato, but another bestie. I don't remember her name. I'm sorry, lady. But anyway. So yes. So yeah, it was just super weird and I didn't think it was funny at all. Anyway, so that was trending and and they did apologize and apparently I think they're gonna edit it out or something, you know?
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well at least they did that, but on the one hand, I'm like, maybe y'all just put it in there so that people would remember that the show was happening. Because I feel like we heard about it, like, in January. And then I forgot it existed.
Yeah.
Until Respect Selena Gomez was trending.
So Mighty Ducks, do that, but don't do that.
Yeah, right. Try a different angle. I said maybe they should make fun of Justin Bieber's Lyme disease.
Oh, jeez. This is the cinematic universe we need, apparently. Saved by the Bell and Mighty Ducks will take place in the same universe just because they make fun of like the same like a former celebrity couple.
I also grew up on Saved by the Bell, by the way, because I was that age, but I don't remember anything about, well, I don't remember very much, and I have not watched the new show because, again, not for me. Really, it's trying to be.
There's just so
it's
much
not
to watch
anyway. Yes, there's like, so much to watch.
And Disney Plus is counting that there's going to be so much to watch because they're just going to dump everything and make sure that, you know, there's going to be something for somebody.
Yeah.
The funniest one for me was that the night before the announcement, They, you know how they announced the Disenchanted, the Enchanted sequel that they've been trying to do for years?
Yeah.
So the night before, me and my roommates tried watching Godmother on Disney Plus, and we got halfway through and turned it off because we were like, this isn't funny. And then my roommate was just like, do you want to watch Enchanted instead? And I watched, and I forgot how funny Enchanted was. So
It's really good.
It's a classic. Yeah, so it's so good.
Yeah, I hadn't seen
Enchanted. Godmother, since... the trailer alone was so meh.
I was excited. I liked the director. I liked Bridget Jones's Diary, and I liked Jillian Bell. So I was optimistic, but yeah, it's not funny. It's not good.
Ouch. Yeah, no.
Well, Enchanted was there anyway.
Enchanted was there to save the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Enchanted. Thank goodness Enchanted was there. And also, just before I think the only other major Disney news, like from the announcements, was that they announced, obviously, they got Whoopi Goldberg back for Sister Act 3, which is kind of a big deal. And then Hocus Pocus 2 was confirmed, which I bet made a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
That's my confession. I don't like Hocus Pocus. So like that was the news that like did not affect me. But everyone, I know I'm in the minority on that one. So that one's going to be, whenever that drops on Disney Plus, that's going to be like the Halloween hit that year.
It's funny because it came out just kind of too late for me to have gotten obsessed with it. But then it was very much in the line of things that I watched when I was the right age. So you'd think I would like it, but I did watch it like years after it came out, and I was like, it's good, but I'm not sure why everybody is obsessed with it. I don't know. It's okay.
I'm excited about Sister Act 3, to be honest.
Yes.
Sister Act 3. Bring it. I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't
Right. care. So many of those, I'm like, what are we going to do? What is happening?
And they know that. They know that it's, well, it's the brand. People are going to care nonetheless.
Right.
So. They are banking on our nostalgia just to get us into the chair to watch it.
And also that they
after the year we've had, nostalgia is what we're going to take, honestly.
Yeah. That's true. It would have been nice to have this stuff this year, but, you know, we'll take it when we get it.
Yeah. Right.
It's funny to me that they got Tyler Perry on board, though, as a producer, because, like, he doesn't really produce stuff outside of his own company and studio, so, like...
His own, like, cinematic universe.
So, the fact that he's doing it is kind of, like, a big deal that they were able to get him to, like, sign aboard Disney, so, I mean, good for him, I guess, or good for Disney? I don't know who it's good for, but it's good for somebody's pocketbook.
Hopefully it's good for the audience in the end.
Let's hope.
I'm sure it'll be good for everybody financially as well, but let's hope it means good content.
And then the other like major news was like the live action, like the Disney films that are coming out.
Yeah.
In the next coming year.
Why? Can we stop with the remakes of the same movies over and over again? Although, I mean, really, the Disney classics are all remakes of fairy tales anyway, so yeah. I suppose, but still,
I mean, like,
everything old is new again.
I mean, like, it's, I don't know, I'm weirdly on board with this, just because, like, you know, you at least get some interesting discussions. None of them are ever better than the original, but at least you get like some interesting takes on the stuff. I mean, like, the ones to me that have been the actual like good ones have either been ones that like throw out everything, like reimagine it completely, like the Jungle Book and Pete's Dragon. Mm-hmm. Or are like spiritual sequels to the original, so like Christopher Robin or Mary Poppins Returns. So,
meta commentary or meta theatrical point of view, it's interesting to see what they think, like what tropes they feel need to be reexamined.
Yeah.
So,
and it's how typically they poorly reimagine them. Also, And then
live action is pretty bad.
It's interesting to see which ones they think are theatrical and which ones they think are Disney Plus ones. So, like, Lady and the Tramp was obviously put on Disney Plus, and then they confirmed that Peter Pan and Wendy and Pinocchio will go to Disney Plus, but Little Mermaid is still set for theaters.
I have a question about Pinocchio. Is this the Tom Hanks one?
Yes.
So, where Tom Hanks is Geppetto, basically?
Yes. Right?
Because there's a Pinocchio it's not Disney, with Guillermo del Toro for Netflix. That's also happening, apparently.
Why is it always happening like at the same time?
I know.
There's a Peter Pan moment at one point where everyone is doing a Peter Pan adaptation at one point.
And it's like an IP Cold War, apparently, where like they're gonna like see which one they get out first. Because like remember, like Disney was doing the Jungle Book, and then Andy Serkis was doing the Jungle Book.
Right, right. Yeah.
Did anybody watch Andy Serkis's The Jungle Book?
Oh, I did. It's terrible. It's so weird. It's so uncomfortable. It's like, remember how we all made fun of The Lion King for not, like, that the animals don't emote right? Well, Jungle Book, his Jungle Book does the opposite, where the animals have, like, human-like proportions on their face.
Oh, God.
Is it like cats? Like cats?
Not that bad.
Oh, God!
Okay, God.
But, like, you can tell they're trying to graft Christian Bale's face onto a panther, or Andy Serkis's face onto Baloo, and it just looks weird. It looks so weird.
And Christian Bale did a voice
had
for it?
So much time.
Yeah. Christian Bale is Bagheera.
Oh my gosh.
And Benedict Cumberbatch was in it, right?
What?
Yeah, because Cumberbatch.
Because Elba was Shere Khan in the Disney one.
Yeah.
So and then Cumberbatch was Shere Khan in with Andy Serkis. Andy Serkis and his mocap, honestly. Come on. Stop with your mocap. Look,
he's having a field day right now with Venom and Carnage. You know, I don't
actually.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, so I think, but then the other weird thing was that Cruella, which is technically still due out in theaters, like they didn't announce they were moving Cruella to Disney Plus, which is what
Disney Plus.
Because they said Raya was going to be day and date Disney Plus and theaters, which was the only announcement like that they made. Like,
right.
They didn't do, like, unlike Warner Brothers, that's the only film that Disney slated for like Disney Plus and like theaters on the same day. But also, like, they're going to do the premium access thing like they did with Mulan. So it's not going to be like Soul, where they were like, all right, you just get this in normal. Raya, you're going to have to pay for. So maybe that'll, if people, it's safe to go to the theaters, maybe that'll incentivize people to go out to the theaters. And if not, you can just pay $30 for that.
Or wait several months until it's just free anyway.
That's true. Or wait.
I still haven't seen Mulan. I'm waiting.
I think you're all right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no rush for
Mulan. It comes out sometime this month. The other thing, staying in the live action realm, why are we getting a prequel to Beauty and the Beast?
Because,
why?
Okay. No, I don't. It's the Gaston and Le Fou.
Well, yeah, but it's a prequel.
Yeah, it's before. It's called Little Town, actually. I don't know why. I think it's because Luke Evans and Josh Gad were so, I don't know why, so popular in from the live action Beauty and the Beast. So you want to see, I mean, I like them both. I don't like Gaston and Le Fou, but
okay. Right, if they were playing some other buddies project? Exactly, they were just like playing two other characters, that'd be great. I don't know.
Yeah, if they have good chemistry, maybe just put them in something where they're likable and not horrible people.
Yeah. For some reason, Alan Menken is on board, and you're like, Alan, is this the project that you want to keep doing for Disney?
I just had the weirdest idea that if you want to keep Luke Evans and Josh Gad together, someone at Universal who's doing that Super Mario Brothers movie should totally get them to be Wario and Waluigi.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's funny.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Why is someone hiring you, Richard?
Universal. The Universal executives are definitely listening to this because of me and Valerie. They're definitely listening.
Obviously.
If you guys are listening, call them up right now.
Yeah. Is there anything else? I'm trying to think. Mike. Do we cover all the Disney? We can't come back, but
yeah. I mean, the only other
talk about Iwaju.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah. No, we haven't talked about that one yet.
That's probably the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really cool idea, and it's also something that I have like no idea what to expect from it.
I love that they acknowledged that they were like, we're gonna make these people decided to make something that was like, fuck you, Disney, and Disney was like, and we're gonna buy you.
That's definitely the most Disney statement I've ever heard. Like, oh, someone's gonna try to be better than us? Let's buy them and make them part of the empire.
Right.
Mickey looked at all of his worlds that he conquered.
It's like that moment from Inception, right? Like, I bought the airport.
Or like, yeah, like Bruce Wayne and Justice League when he's like, I bought the bank. That's just Disney's whole MO.
Yeah. But it does look really good. Like, yeah, it, you know, that's exciting. I did like, there is a lot of diversity to the slate, a lot of the stuff they're doing. Not like, I mean, there's always more they can do, but they are obviously working on it, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's also like more exciting in a way, just because it's been so long we've had a really a stream of content. So it feels like we've been waiting for this longer than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year it was like, oh my God, all the things that are coming. Even though like half of it's like years in advance.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
It's good to know, right?
I have to look forward.
Yeah.
There are good times coming.
This is the D23 like of the year. So like, this is what we know we'll be getting for the next few years.
Yeah. Because I don't think we know what, when is the next D23 is the next one. The next real one is what, 2022, 2023? I don't know. It should have been next year, but I don't think anybody thinks any conventions are happening next year either.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes. I think I knew this quote was coming, but I didn't realize it was going to be this kind of info dump with so much information. Especially, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, go on.
I was just going to say, I definitely don't think anybody expected the wealth of information we got for Star Wars. Especially since it sounded like they were going to take a break. What happened to our break?
Oh, I mean, I knew they would take a break theatrically, but, you know, Disney didn't pay $4 billion to let Star Wars ever rest. Like, they were which I guess that's a good segue to go into Star Wars.
Yes. That was what I was doing. I was trying to slip it in there.
Are we still going to talk about The Mandalorian, or are we just going to go to the new stuff?
We can talk about The Mandalorian in the new stuff, because two of the shows are related to The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm.
And they confirm Mandalorian Season 3 will premiere around Christmas next year, so...
Nice.
That's going to be a good Christmas next
that
year?
That is going to... That means it's going to be a whole year, though. I'm just so sad. Cause
like, and it ends next week!
I know!
I was freaking out!
After we watched the episode on Friday, I was like, wait a minute. We only have one more episode left.
What are we going to do for a year?
It's like, this better be a super long episode. It's going to be like 20 minutes, right? I'm like, because Matt
that
pointed out,
be
he's
as
like,
long as
that
the
was
the premiere. Like, that was like 50 minutes.
Yeah. That was the first episode without Grogu at all.
Yeah, we didn't. I thought when they cut back to the ship, we were at least going to see him. But
yeah. And that's like, that's just not okay. So, although I do have to say, I'm still like, it was the first episode I really wanted, like in a while, that I was like, I need to watch this again, like now, because it hit me right in the feels. I was like, he loves him so much. He took off the helmet.
Aww.
I was freaking out. I was like, he took it off. Why am I so stressed out? But he did it. We're Grogu.
I know. But. It was adorable too. Like Matt pointed out, he's like, he takes off the helmet and he doesn't know how to act. It's like he reverses being a child.
Right.
You know?
That kind of like, is that. It's kind of true.
He's so
undeveloped.
Like he just,
amazing.
But it was a really good episode and it made me really happy. And I guess I'm excited about spinoffs, but like at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't know.
No, but they know they have a good thing
with
The Mandalorian, and they know now, like, that's so... The other spinoffs can maybe... Let's wait and see. Well, Ahsoka's gonna be great, but...
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
The rest, we'll see.
Ahsoka's interesting because they confirmed it's a limited series, as opposed to...
Oh, great.
So Ahsoka we're only probably gonna get one season of.
Which is probably good. Yeah. Like, I don't know. They might do more, I suppose, but...
Or, but like, also, shorter seasons, like, maybe one season of 3 or 4 episodes every other year or something. And then maybe Ahsoka, in the meantime, can sometimes pop up in The Mandalorian, you know? Things are possible.
Well, the way they made the announcement was that Ahsoka and Rangers of the New Republic and Mandalorian were all going to be, like, building to, like, an event series or an event thing, so... Like
this is like a Defenders kind of situation?
Yeah, like a Defenders, or this is their, like...
But hopefully good.
This is their...
yeah.
I will not sit here and stand for any defender slander. I will.
It's
terrible. What the hell?
I will not take this. I will leave this conversation right now.
The only good thing about the defenders is that we knew we would never have to see the hand again.
I mean, that is a plus.
I like
to the
seeing
defenders.
Them all just in that Chinese restaurant. That was the best part of Defenders for me.
That was a good episode. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
But yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how they like build up. And I think because of her name drop of Admiral Thrawn, I think that's what the event series will be building to. So like,
probably.
So whoever.
But we need to watch Rebels, right? Because I haven't seen any of the animated series, so that's what I'm going to do in the year before Mandalorian season 3, probably.
Matt is currently watching Clone Wars, so he started with that, and I watched the movie and then an episode, and I was like, I'm good. All of this. I'm just because like I've already said like I love Star Wars, but it's nowhere near as important to me as like Harry Potter or Marvel are, right? So, but it means everything to Matt because like he, you know, I was born in 79, so I grew up with it. He was born in 73, so he was like the right age when it came out to be obsessed for his life. Anyway, but yeah, so he's at the same time far more excited and then far more concerned. But he he lost it at the Thrawn thing because he has read the books, and so that's why he loves the Mandalorian. But I think he's worried because he's interested in the two, in Ahsoka and Rangers of the Republic, just because they are in the same, and he wonders how much input Favreau and Filoni will have. If they really are just in charge of it, he's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they said they were in charge, like producing the show. So I assume Favreau and Filoni will be pretty hands on. Like this is their own little corner of the Star Wars universe that they're developing.
And I hope it stays that way and let other people stay out of it. I did think it was interesting. Do you think Rain? Because watching this last episode, Matt was like, you know, looking at some of these characters, these could be some of the Rangers of the New Republic.
I thought like, the same thing. Like watching it, I was like, are they setting up Bill Burr for this show? Because
yeah.
But at the same time,
well, he kind of grew on you during this episode, so why not?
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, the sad thing is, you know, I think somebody pointed out they did better developing him as the ex-Imperial in this one episode than they did with Finn over across three movies, which is not.
That's what I read as well.
Yeah, which is just, man, they fucked over John Boyega.
I mean, I agree and disagree with that statement. I think Boyega does. I think Force Awakens does a really good job of like setting up like why he would leave,
and then no follow through.
Yeah, I mean, like
screwed him over because Finn was great, and then it was like you made me not care anymore. And it's not that there's anything wrong with Finn; he was an interesting character. You just didn't give him anything.
I think they gave him at least something to do in Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker is the one where they're like, I don't know what, they had no idea what to do with Finn.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting because everybody was expecting them to announce that something with Cara Dune, right? And you assume that this is maybe it, but they didn't announce it that she's involved in any way.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Of who she is.
It makes you wonder if it's anything about the fact that they're like, well, shit, everybody hates her now.
Like a Johnny Depp situation. Let's, you know.
Yes. It's like, uh-oh. What did we get our hands into? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like how in the Marvel panel, how, like, they very, you know, I feel like originally they'd planned to maybe announce something with Shuri in the Black Panther sequel, and then they were like, let's maybe not right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the same with, like, they're, you know, they kind of waited out Hawkeye a little bit, like they didn't talk about it for a while because it was like, oh shit, is everybody just gonna get over Renner? Or, you know, hopefully Kate Bishop will be okay. Which, you know, hopefully we will, but but yeah, I wonder if that's part of it, but we'll see. So those, I guess, I'm kind of excited about. How does everybody feel about the fact that now new title Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to include Hayden Christensen?
I
like that.
Yeah. Super down for that.
Yeah. I
I mean, what is he doing these days anyway?
Well, and that's the thing. Hayden Christensen is a much better actor than those movies make you think. He's not like gonna win Oscars, but he's not a bad actor.
He's better.
Yes, he's better than those movies. And so I was initially happy because I was like, well, cool, they're gonna redeem him. Or like Hayden, not
are Hayden, they? But we'll see him again anyway.
Well, but the whole Matt was like, okay, but Vader is only good when like the whole reason Vader is good is and the best times is when he isn't speaking or speaking very little. And that voice is James Earl Jones, not Hayden Christensen. He is now at a point where he needs to be in the suit. What the hell are you getting Hayden Christensen?
I think
unless somebody
and if you try to do flashbacks, it's going to be weird because he's old, but then he looks old. So it's weird.
Well, but then they are Disney and they do have Marvel technology.
Can they not do like the CGI they did with Princess Leia in Rogue One? Can we not?
Yeah, no, do what Marvel do, not what Rogue One did. So yeah, I was like, well, that's a good point. So I don't know. I guess I'll have to see. I did love it though that like there was a quote from Ewan did a interview with the Hollywood Reporter, and he said that the best thing to come from Obi-Wan Kenobi is that he gets to reunite with Hayden Christensen. And I was like, oh my god,
that was very sweet.
Yeah, I was like, that's really
sweet. Yeah, that was very sweet. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. If I were to put my money on it, I think as far as Anakin's role in the show, or Vader technically, I think we will see flashbacks to like the time period between like Revenge of the Sith, because he technically was Darth Vader in those moments.
Yeah.
So like there's also a chance we might see like Obi-Wan might be having like, because Last Jedi and Rebels introduced like very trippy concepts of the Force. Mm-hmm. So Obi-Wan might be having like vision, like haunted by like visions of stuff where he sees like Anakin / Vader, so that might be how we bring Hayden back into it as Darth Vader. And then, you know, he might suit up, you know, because I remember the big deal was when he suited up in Revenge of the Sith, how excited he was to, like, wear the outfit, so we'll probably get, like, an episode of Vader in the suit, and, like, we'll probably hear him or at least see him.
Yeah. Yeah, so Matt was turned off by that, but I was like, he doesn't want to see this movie or that show really anyway.
Why?
Well, he loves Ewan as Obi-Wan, but he doesn't. Well, we're gonna have to see what happens. But as far as we knew, all Obi-Wan did was spend the next 18 years on Tatooine, you know, watching Luke, protecting him. So he was like, what the hell is that show then? But obviously there is going to be something more to it. He must leave the planet because it can't happen on Tatooine because Vader can't know that Luke exists. So, well, he can't be involved in Luke's life in any way. So I guess he could possibly know that Luke is there, but because it is still kind of silly to me that you hit him with his own family. But anyway, yeah.
Vader cut that part of his family out. He didn't even think to look. He was like, Sky, who? I'm not looking. Vader is definitely that kid who like left his hometown and is never going back. Also, it's a whole planet full of sand. I don't think Anakin wants to step back on that planet. There's a reason he sends a patrol unit down to find R2 and 3PO. He's like, what planet is this? Tatooine? I'm not going down there.
Fuck no.
He's like, no, you're
triggered.
If they
can get Hayden to say something about sand, oh my god. We're gonna lose it.
Oh man, sand. I would love that.
Oh
would,
god.
He should have one
everyone
scene,
would love that.
One line. He's and that's all it
or
is.
Or even if he doesn't speak, just like his face goes, ugh, sand.
Yeah. I just wanna see Darth Vader in the suit, like have to look at a thing of sand and just like kick it. Like an angry child.
Force choke the sand.
Oh my gosh. That would be amazing. Anyway.
It's already worth the price of admission at this point.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I don't think Matt's going to watch that show, although we'll see. But I am just because Ewan McGregor. I don't really care otherwise. But, you know, it is interesting that it's going to be 10 years later. What leads up to them having to tangle again?
Yeah, that's going to be, that'll be kind of interesting to see. And, you know, like, there's a pretty big gap in time there. So it'll be interesting to see how Obi-Wan will have changed. I'm just curious to see, you know, how in 19 years he goes from Ewan McGregor to Alec Guinness. Because, like, Bo-Katan looks great for, you know, the time period between Rebels and Mandalorian. Hasn't aged a day. Apparently the Tatooine sun is just a killer on your skin.
It's all the sand.
He doesn't moisturize. He just doesn't moisturize. Yeah.
Compare how, like, Bail Organa looks in Rogue One to how Obi-Wan looks.
Well, it's Jimmy Smith, because he looks so fine.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith doesn't age.
Yeah.
So the way that, you know, Grogu comes from a species that doesn't age very fast, Obi-Wan is obviously a species that ages really, really fast. So he's a different kind of human.
And it's also, because someone pointed out something that's interesting to me is that Alec Guinness actually is only a few years older than what Obi-Wan's actual canonical age is in the series.
Mm.
Like, he was cast as Obi-Wan, I think he was only like 6 or 7 years older.
Right.
So, like,
yikes. 6 or 7 years, man.
Yeah. Because Alec Guinness. What happened? Because Alec Guinness, like, Obi-Wan, when he dies, is supposed to be like 54 years old.
Really? About 60 or something.
Yeah, Obi-Wan is supposed to be 54 by the time. That's the weird thing when you start breaking down the timeline, because, like, I did the math. Like, Boba Fett in Mandalorian is only supposed to be 41 years old.
It is Tatooine.
That Tatooine sun.
Ewan McGregor's already 49.
Is he really?
Now. Yeah, I just looked it up now. I was like,
damn. I want to see Ewan, I want to see Obi-Wan with, like, the salt and pepper look, like the George Clooney look, like he's, like, halfway between Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan and A New Hope Obi-Wan.
Like Cobb Vanth, like Timothy Oliphant in The Mandalorian, right?
Oh, yeah.
Salt and pepper.
Give it to me. Yes. Oh, man. That's what I want to see. I want to see a young Cobb Vanth. Give me that cameo.
Everybody thought he was going to get a spinoff.
maybe he'll show up in Rangers of the New Republic. Maybe he's one of the, you know, someone called Timothy Oliphant.
Yes,
they probably will. Everyone loved Cobb.
He's going to be back, I'm sure.
Yeah, in one of these other shows. Yeah, everyone loved him. I know, yeah, I did.
Everybody loved him, and he got so much development for a one-off character
in one episode. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess it's funny because you were talking about how, like, Matt isn't that interested in Obi-Wan. Like, Andor is a show that, like, I did not like Rogue One.
Why?
But I liked Cassian Andor. So, like, I'll watch that show.
Yes, but you're basically, okay, so we saw his redemption. We know he was terrible before that. So we're just going to watch a show about him being terrible?
Yeah, I'm open to that. I'm open to seeing a show that kind of shows the dirtier side of the rebellion, that shows, like, the more, because that was, like, the interesting angle of Rogue One, was showing, like, the like, you know, the side of the rebellion that we don't normally see, like the ugly side of it. So
the gray areas. Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing them explore that concept more, and we're going to get more K2SO. So that sounds good to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to say, the other weird thing is that Cassian Andor is going to be 12 episodes, whereas, like, that's more than The Mandalorian gets a season, so...
Why?
Yeah, why? Is it a limited series, or is it, like, a full series?
They didn't confirm that, so I think...
Okay, I guess they'll see.
But, I mean, that's at least 3 months of... That's 3 months of show for people to watch.
I think it says a lot.
It's Diego Luna, so... Thanks.
I haven't checked since, but if you were watching that day, the numbers on the trailers that they put up, I think it says a lot that the Bad Batch, the spinoff from Clone Wars or Rebels, whatever it is, had more views than the one for Andor.
I mean, that makes a certain amount of sense, because the Andor one is like a sizzle reel trailer, where it's like, it's not really a trailer. It's like how the DC fandom one, like the Suicide Squad trailer, like videos were like the least viewed, yeah, as opposed to like Batman or Wonder Woman or anything that had like a full trailer.
Oh, okay. But I didn't watch it, so I'll be honest.
You didn't watch the Andor one or the Bad Batch one?
Either.
Val, come on. You weren't even like a little curious to click on them?
Well, I was, but I was going to do it when I got home, and then I forgot, which means no, I wasn't actually that curious, obviously. Instead, we watched the Marvel ones again. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be another one I mean, he's great, but, and so I may watch it, but I've only seen Rogue One once and I don't really need to see it again. So I wasn't all that interested in.
I've seen parts of Rogue One quite a few times.
Yeah. Matt didn't like it and I was indifferent to it, I guess. I mean, I liked it better than Solo, but that's not saying much. I liked it.
That's
better
not saying
than
much.
The,
yeah.
It's like you're purposely attacking me at this point. It's like, it's funny. I just rewatched Solo the other night because I was like, that's like, I much prefer Solo to Rogue One.
Oh.
Why did you just rewatch The Mandalorian?
Yes. I would rather do that. Or
I'd watch like an hour of Grogu just purring over rewatching some of the other stuff. But sorry, that's just me.
As I sit here looking at my animatronic Grogu sitting right in front of me, and I'm like, I want to turn him on.
I just think it's funny how you guys are calling him Grogu, because I remember when that episode aired, I was like, there's no way that catches on, but apparently it is.
We're trying.
I'm actively trying to make myself call him that.
Well, it's funny because I feel more people are willing to call him Grogu, but no one's going to call him Din Djarin. We're just going to call him Mando.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while I hear people call him Din, and I'm just like, it's weird. Just call him Mando.
We'll try not to call him Baby Yoda. We'll try to call him Grogu. Nobody's going to try to build an effort to call him Din Djarin. You're Mando.
Which reminds me, Matt, when he saw the Lando show, he's like, do Mando and Lando go to Nando's? Is that the show?
Yes. I want to point something out about the Lando show, because like, I feel like that's a good transition, is that I'm slightly disappointed they didn't call it the Calrissian Chronicles, like like Solo, when like Donald Glover is like narrating his holocron book, he's like, new chapter in the Calrissian Chronicles. I'm very, very upset about that.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't confirm which Lando is going to be in it gives me so many questions. Like,
yeah.
I hope they do like a young Indiana Jones thing where it's like, we have Billy Dee Williams and then we like, as like bookends, and like we flash back to Donald Glover.
Well, that'd perfect. Be cool.
And then that way we can get some more Alden.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I would be on board.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
That. Yeah. I feel but like what that show is the
possibly going to be though, if it's not that.
I mean, the only other thing I could think of is that it's going to be about like the Billy Dee Williams Lando, like going with his daughter, like on adventures, maybe.
I mean, I like, what's her name? Janna.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we don't know her enough.
You mean the daughter he hits on in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah,
it does look like weird. He hits on her. It's funny.
It's so incestuous.
It's so gross.
I know so many people that were like, wait, that's supposed to be his daughter? I thought he was flirting with her. And it's like, Billy Dee Williams just cannot turn that charm off. He just naturally, like, is just always, like, the man can't say anything without it sounding flirty.
It's so creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah,
no, let's just go with young Indiana Jones, please.
And they described that one as an event series. So that's the wording that makes me curious. That's what makes me think it's going to maybe That makes me think it's going to serve as like a proto, like maybe Solo sequel or like spinoff. That maybe it'll try to tie up loose ends left over from Solo.
Yeah, because Solo is not getting a sequel. If they didn't announce it for
never say never. If I've learned it, if the Disney thing has taught us anything, is that give it a few years and we'll get a Solo sequel.
They'll be like, shit, what can we do?
Just don't wait till Alden Ehrenreich is actually like Harrison Ford age.
Yeah.
Well, if he ages like Ewan McGregor, we won't have a problem.
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich is just gonna keep that good look forever.
Funny look.
That's why. That's what I'm telling you. Marvel, Alden Ehrenreich is Wolverine. Make it happen.
No, I'm still.
I can't. Hugh Jackman.
I'm still on forever. Board for Taron Egerton as Wolverine.
I can see Taron. Like.
Okay.
I can see Taron, but I'm still in camp Alden Ehrenreich for Wolverine.
I think Taron Egerton would be amazing. Anyway, is that all the TV shows? So we can move on to the movies, which also, it's. Oh.
I mean, there's also the Bad Batch and Visions and A Droid Story, which are all animated.
did you see all the jokes that people have been like the fake announcements? So like, there was one I saw the other day where our Jar Jar Binks one, and there's Gonk and Broom Boy. I'm here for Broom Boy.
Broom Boy needs a series. Broom Boy needs. My favorite was my favorite was denim jeans guy. The series.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean,
it just felt like it was like, what? We're just getting all the what? What is half this shit? Yeah.
But I mean, as far as like the other animated series, like if you guys have any opinions on like A Droid Story or Bad Batch or Visions.
Matt's response to A Droid Story was the original trilogy is A Droid Story. He argues that it's told from the perspective of the droids. Every episode begins and ends with one of the droids.
True.
So he's like, that is a droid story. Why do we need more?
Because we love R2 and 3PO. That's why.
So.
But will we love them for that long?
I probably won't watch it. There was a droid cartoon, wasn't there? A droid
cartoon
in like the 80s or something?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I will watch it just because R2 is probably my favorite Star Wars character, and I.
So you should hate the sequels because they totally shafted him.
You know what's funny?
He is one of the best characters.
I was just about to say that, like, of all like the fanboy complaining about like how the original trilogy characters, like, oh, they ruined the original trilogy characters, a statement that I fully disagree with. I would be lying if I say part of me isn't a little frustrated that R2 doesn't get much to do. Like, yeah. Even though, like, I'm also willing to admit R2 had 6 movies of doing everything. So I'm okay with 3 movies of R2 just being like, I'm here.
Yeah, but they only shafted him to sell toys and introduce other droids. And that feels really wrong. Like,
I mean, that's honestly, I'm okay with that also because that's the Star Wars. That's Star Wars for me. Like, Star Wars is always introducing new characters and new toys. And look, I love BB-8, so I'm not going to be like, R2, you know, R2 got replaced by BB-8. It's like, they can both coexist. I'm okay with that. That's two toys I can get at Galaxy's Edge.
I'm not even that attached to R2, but I do feel like they did him dirty.
That's like one of the few compliments I'll give Rise of Skywalker is I do like that they gave 3PO a bigger role in that one. Like,
I liked
Is it a bigger role that his mind got wiped though? So,
I mean, he gets to be more.
But I think it was like showing his importance, right? And also, that he's also, you know, in a way, a person.
Yeah.
That it's like.
I'll also stand by that. I think Rise of Skywalker actually has the best 3PO scene. Is that scene where like he decides to like chooses to have his memory wiped because that's like the first time that like anyone actually asks 3PO a question and actually cares about his opinion on anything.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Really.
Like. 9 movies and everyone's just kind of talking over him and like that's why I love that little like look he gives when Ray asks like yeah. that one little look that he gives when Ray asks him, he's like, wait, you're actually asking me a question? You actually care what I think?
Okay, mind wipe me right now. So
yeah,
okay, that was nice.
Okay, otherwise, fine. The movie is just terrible. But yeah.
And then I guess the only thing I would say is that Visions, I mean, I like that they're doing, the idea of doing, like, an anime Star Wars, you know, show is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, going back to, because since the original movies were actually inspired by Asian movies, it feels full circle in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then, do you guys, Bad Batch, I guess, looks pretty cool.
See, that's a spinoff from Clone Wars, right? So those are characters that were in Clone Wars. They weren't. I don't know who they are, so I don't really, you know.
Did you guys catch that? You do see. Oh, well, Valerie, I guess you didn't because you didn't watch the trailer. But There's a, what you call it? Finnick from Mandalorian is in it.
Oh, interesting.
I'm so glad she's back. I'm just so glad Ming-Na Wen is back.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I got so mad last season when they were like, what, really? You cast Ming-Na Wen? And then she gets killed by, like, what's his face? Jake, kind of the lead character who was so lame.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's back, so I don't care.
Disney was like, she has, like, you can't do that.
And everything. Yeah, no. She's Mulan for me, man.
Put Ming-Na Wen in all the things.
Yeah.
Bring Agent May back in an MCU show, you cowards. I don't know what mental gymnastics you have to do to justify it.
It doesn't matter. Just bring it back.
Speaking of people who have been in Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars now, Miss Ming-Na Wen. Well, if they do anything, so we can talk about it when we talk about the Marvel stuff, but like Secret Wars, like, or Secret Invasion, sorry, if that takes place after Captain Marvel 1, but before Iron Man, which is what Matt thinks it is, you can have Clark Gregg in it again, and then just put Ming-Na Wen somewhere in there.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Just because, yes, Agent Melinda May is amazing. Anyway, as for the Star Wars movies, so we know that Journey Smollett is going to be, I would assume, the lead in Taika Waititi's movie, which I like to think that Taika and Peyton Reed were watching Lovecraft Country and were fighting over which one of the leads they got.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I want Jonathan. I need Kang.
I'm so sorry. I just realized we forgot to talk about one more show. Forgot to talk about The Acolyte.
Oh, that's a show?
Oh, yeah. Please don't talk about that.
Yeah. It's all like mysterious.
I don't really get what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're like purposely trying to make it like, ooh, what's this about?
Yeah.
That's the one that takes place like thousands of years before, right?
That's the one that's going to take place during the High Republic, at the end of the High Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the one Leslie Headland is doing. So, like, that's what took me, because I thought she was doing a movie. I didn't know it was going to be a show.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that.
And then, yeah, because that's the one, I would honestly say that's probably the one I'm the most excited for, as far as, like, the television shows, just because, like, I love Leslie. Oh, go on.
Because it's so different. Because, everything else we got announced, it falls in the timeline of the movies we've already seen. You know, mostly between the prequels, the end of the prequels, or, well, during, I guess, Bad Batch. And then just, like, after the original trilogy. So this is, it's nice to see them go beyond it. Because that is, the one thing, like, I love The Mandalorian, but I do have to say I'm like, okay, but the more you bring these other characters in, you're making it part of Skywalker story again. And it's like, this is a huge universe. It's a huge galaxy. Let's see other things. You know, we were just having a conversation with our friend Corey the other day about it, all of it. And it was like, there would be literally hundreds of billions of people. And so that's why you can't imagine a world where people are like, what are Jedi? Because they could just be like, it could literally be this tiny little area that's where the Jedi operate.
Yeah.
And nobody else deals with them at all. And so that's where you could see that idea. But we still only get stories about that tiny little area. And Mandalorian, is like the side character that keeps, like, this is how he's the side character who keeps bumping into the main plot line, but doesn't want to be there. So he keeps wandering away, but we keep getting it. And I'm excited because they're doing well with it. But at the same time, I'm like, I want to see things that are not just about or related to Skywalker. And so, yeah, I think that's why for some reason, I thought it was a movie too. Because I missed that whole part. But still, I mean, a series is great. It's something different.
Agreed.
I mean, it will be about Jedi, but it's going to be way in advance. So, it should be interesting. But yes,
before the Skywalkers were the coolest Jedi.
You watch, there's going to be a cameo by, like, a Skywalker ancestor. There's going to be, like, in the High Republic, we're going to meet, like...
We're going to see how they got the name Skywalker.
Yeah, we're going to see...
My other question is, are they going to say midichlorians at one point?
Please,
it's funny how they've stepped around that. How they're
the
not
M count.
M count,
the
yeah.
M count. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Patty Jenkins has left. Well, not left DC, but like Disney, of course, stole her for, you know, Star Wars is the way that they get people, it seems. Because that's the thing everybody grew up wanting to do. So they're like, yeah. What if we give you a Star Wars?
Yeah, do you want a Star Wars? And that's, it is a good way to be like, you have my attention. Yeah, that honestly was like the biggest like Belloc taking the idol from indie move that Disney's done in a long time. Like this, like the fact that they were like, especially in the eve of like the whole AT&T, Time Warner, like everything's going to HBO Max debacle that has left so many filmmakers mad. The fact that they were like, oh, we're going to take, you know, you are your biggest director. And the fact that Warner Brothers specifically paid out Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot's back-end deals, even though they didn't do that with any other celebrities, they did it just to keep them on board for Wonder Woman 3. And Patty Jenkins is now doing Rogue Squadron. That means that either Wonder Woman 3 is going to have to be delayed, because there's no way she can film Wonder Woman 3 to be ready for a 2022 release date so that she can start prepping Rogue Squadron. That means that... Or she's going to maybe just act as a producer on Wonder Woman 3. So, and then just the fact that they announced even as Rogue Squadron is so cool.
Yeah, my friend Kat was saying that, like, that's... Those books are what kept her involved in Star Wars fandom for a long time after she had kind of waned on it. I'm terrible. I've never read any of the books. I think I read one of the novelizations of one of the prequels, like Attack of the Clones, I think, but otherwise I've never read a Star Wars book. I know Matt has, and I know a lot of my friends have, which is why they get bitter, you know, when Kathleen Kennedy says things like, well, we're not like Marvel and we don't have anything to draw on. And they're like, what the fuck are all these books? Which then is exactly what Filoni and Favreau are doing, is drawing on all those books.
That was a comment that way too many fans bent out of shape. Like that was a comment that way too many fans got. Like, she wasn't saying that they don't have books to adapt, but she was saying specifically in relation to like adapting Rise of Skywalker and like the Skywalker, like the closing of this trilogy. They don't have like books to adapt that like they can't just make a straight adaptation. They can draw elements from it, which that, if anything, that was the problem Rise of Skywalker had, was that they drew from the dumbest elements from the Star Wars books, like the whole Palpatine clone stuff. That was the stuff they were like, let's draw from this. I was like, guys, nobody wanted a Palpatine clone. Nobody liked this. Nobody liked this when we did it the first time in the expanded universe, and nobody likes it now.
Yeah, that movie was so bad.
Like, I can't even.
And yet they did. Why? Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it's funny. Corey was telling us that when a friend of ours sent him the trailer, he didn't know what the Rogue Squadron thing was. So he was watching it, and he said, he was like, you know, watching her talk about like dogfights and stuff, and he's like, is there that much like flying in Wonder Woman? And then he's watching, he's like, did she direct Top Gun and I 2, and I don't know it? And then when she put on the helmet, he, you know, he was excited because he just went in blind. He didn't know what it was. It's so, yeah, that's cool. It was sweet.
Yeah, that video was really sweet. That like, that was very touching, and that like made me even more excited for it.
Yeah. And then that's it, right? Because we don't know anything about Taika's movie except that it will be something new and different, and Journey Smollett is going to be in it.
Yeah, the only other news was that the other three announcements from Lucasfilm, which were Indiana Jones, Children of Blood and Bones, and Willow TV show.
Yeah, which at least they told us this will be the last Indiana Jones, at least with Harrison Ford in it.
Yeah, which is,
you know, thank God.
That's something I'm like a little like mixed on, just because I'm like, I want them to continue doing more Indiana Jones stuff. I think you can. I think you can do, like, recast as a younger actor and, like, fill in the gaps or reboot it or do stuff like that. But I am glad that Harrison Ford is getting one last round as Indiana Jones and to fill out, like, the whole, like, Lucas always said he wanted to do 5 Indiana Jones movies, so I'm glad we're getting that, like, 5th one. I'm still a little bitter that it's not Spielberg. I understand why. Yeah. It just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And Mangold seems like such an interesting directing choice for this, because I like Mangold's movies, but I would never describe them as fun.
Spielberg knows what he's doing, so.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, yeah, you're right. It's good to have Harrison Ford conclude his Indiana Jones series, especially after Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is, like, not a strong note to end on.
Richard likes that movie.
I don't like that movie.
I'm sorry. Oh my god, I feel like we're attacking you. Okay,
look,
sorry.
I know. I have controversial. I know I have controversial takes. I'm a walking Twitter hot take. I'm just full of the hot takes. I love Crystal Skull, but I would also be lying if I said, like, that's, like, the way you end the series on. I think it's a satisfying ending. The same way Crusade was, but, like, I'm also an indie fanboy. Where, like, You could tell me it had a perfect ending, and you tell me, do you want more? I'll be like, yeah, I want more. give me a little more. Just put a little more Parmesan on that, you know, on that pasta.
Just like there are only 3 Star Wars movies and a TV show, there are only 3 Indiana Jones movies and
there
a
are,
TV show.
There are 11 Star Wars movies. There are 11 Star Wars movies. Even if you don't like them, they are part of your they are part of the material. You don't have to like every installment. I don't like Suicide Squad, but I still have to acknowledge it exists.
I've never seen it, so it doesn't exist in my mind.
consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
That's 2 hours of my life I'm never getting back. I'm fine. I'm not bitter. Do you guys have any thoughts about Willow or Children of Blood and Bone?
I saw Willow when I was a kid and I liked it the one time I saw it. But I never had the same investment in it either, that I don't really care about more. But, you know, go Warwick Davis, like, getting a job. That's good for him. otherwise, and I don't...
I've never seen Willow, so I can't really speak to it, but
you should watch it. It's cute.
Yeah, I was going through the description of it and everything, and I was like, well, this sounds like a fun idea, and I think that it could definitely be something people would enjoy now, even if they hadn't seen the original, so.
Yeah. I mean, I love fantasy, so I'll probably be excited that way. Children of Blood and Bone is based on a book series, yeah?
Yes.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's based off a book. I haven't read it, but I heard it's pretty good. And I'm honestly just excited that they're doing something. Lucasfilm is doing something that isn't an old IP of theirs. That they're actually, like, kind of branching out.
Yes. Something new, finally.
Yeah.
They needed that.
That they're kind of trying to find their own identity, and that kind of keeps with, like, the Lucasfilm original intent of, like, telling these different stories from, like, different, you know, just kind of doing things that, you know, other filmmakers might not. So Children of Blood and Bone is. And also, not in the announcement, but apparently, like, that had been reported in the Hollywood Reporter is that Rick Famuyiwa is directing it. So, he's got a pretty good working relationship with Disney.
Oh, yeah!
That's cool.
And I think that wraps it up for the Lucasfilm
camp. I think that is everything Lucasfilm, and now we just get to gush about Marvel. Which, I wasn't really surprised that we didn't get a lot of announcements, considering how much we know.
I'm sorry. And how much you're saying we didn't get a lot of announcements? Because we got the trailer. Okay,
we got so many trailers too.
I was at the Hall H panel last year, and that was when they dropped, you know, what it was like 10 series and 5 movies or whatever. So, like, this, yes, there were announcements, but it doesn't feel like as big because it wasn't the same thing. So yes, we did get a lot of announcements. I should correct that. But it's insane how much we're getting in such a short period of time. Cause, like, I mean, so we were supposed to start getting the Disney Plus shows in August. The first one would have been The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And they were going to be a little bit more spread out. And now instead we're getting WandaVision first, and then basically immediately after that's over, we get fucking in the Winter Soldier. And then immediately after that's over, supposedly Black Widow is going to come out. And then immediately after that is when we get Loki. It's like in the first, we're going from not counting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ending. No new MCU, which I do count, but at the same time, they started ignoring that show, so it doesn't feel like it's the MCU anymore. We haven't had any new Marvel content since Spider-Man Far From Home came out in July of last year. And then all of a sudden, it's like, here, have all the things. All the things.
Yeah, they really did. They really just did said all of the things.
It's just, I actually was, like, so overwhelmed. I feel like I need to watch. I don't know if there's a video or, like, a recording of that panel, because I almost feel like I forgot things, because there was so much. I was just like, how is this happening? But let's start in order-ish. So WandaVision continues to look amazing, which I still think is crazy, because I could care less about those two characters.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny because you and me are the reverse. Like, that's how I am about Falcon Winter Soldier. I could care less about those two characters.
Oh, but fuck you.
See, I love Wanda and Vision. So like them getting their story, like this is the Disney Plus show I'm the most hyped for.
And I could have cared less about either character until Infinity War, because they did a pretty good job of making me care in that movie. Finally, like, I actually felt like they were people that I was invested in, and like I cried at the end. But at the same time, I'm still like, if I had to make a list of my character order, they would be pretty low middle, maybe. But that show looks so good. But what the hell is going on? It's gonna be batshit insane, and I love it.
Yes,
I love it. Nothing makes sense.
I'm sort of with you. Like, I care about Wanda and Vision in the comics a lot, but I feel like they were not given very much, you know, to do in the MCU. Plus,
yeah.
I just find it weird that he's so old. But but anyway, if I ignore that, just the way that it's been set up, and also the fact that we know that so much of like the multiverse or just where, like, the paths that phase four can take will rest on WandaVision and also Wanda's appearance in Doctor Strange. So I'm very much looking forward to where it's going to take us. And of course, the introduction of Monica Rambeau. So, or not introduction, reintroduction to her adult self. So, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. I mean, when it was originally announced, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Now I'm like, holy crap. It, like, literally everything that's coming in the next few years rests on what happens in that show. Like, it's going to start so much because of the multiverse. Because, you know, we've been introduced to it, but obviously this is what really is going to expand it and make things go crazy. And I'm super excited. And, like, I watched, like, half the shows that they're, parodying? I don't know, whatever they're doing. And so I'm like, oh, I remember watching, like, Who's the Boss and stuff like that. I was like, I watched those shows as a kid. Yay. Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, the rumor stuff that's going on and just how interesting some of the ideas that they've given us are. Like, there's just that little bit where you're like, ooh, you latch onto the one thing. Like, and how interesting it is, like, that in universe there's the character who's like the neighbor who's like, am I dead? And he's like, why? And he's like, because you are. And it's like, ooh. I'm like, and then what in this one we got the message where somebody's talking to Wanda. It's like, who's doing this to you? So, you know, we kind of went from the idea that it looks like Wanda's creating this world entirely of her own, like, own design, to wait, is she, or is she being manipulated? Matt's wondering if it's Nightmare manipulating her, which would be interesting.
It could be Nightmare. It could be Mephisto also, because they kind of hint at Mephisto in the Loki trailer, at least, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but, like,
oh, that'd be fun to have them all connected.
Among other
like that.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like, ooh, I really, but it's
so
only
much potential,
gonna be what,
right?
Like, It's only, what, like 8 episodes, 30 minutes long each or 6 something episodes. Like that? 6 episodes. It's even shorter than I thought.
But it's going to be good. You can
it
tell.
It looks so good. I am so excited. I need to read more of the comics to get into those characters because I just haven't read enough of them. So maybe I would love them more then. But like, yeah, I'm so excited. But I am a huge The Winter Soldier fan. So fuck you, Richard, saying you don't care about that show.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying like those two characters are like on the bottom list for me. But that goes to show like the trailer I thought looked pretty cool. That one definitely looked like an epic action movie like that. Yes. I like how that looks like a like kind of a Tom Clancy like action thriller. So I'm very on board with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Captain America, The Winter Soldier is my favorite MCU film because like, and I've said it a million times, I like when our entertainment reflects back on the world that we're looking at and like is telling us something about the world. And this sure is going to help like reflect. I mean, this entire idea of basically like they won't let the Falcon be Captain America and that they put up their own U.S. agent to do it. I'm like, that's, I don't know. It looks really, I'm excited. I like it. And, you know, I fully admit that I'm a big Sebastian Stan fan. But I like their dynamic. And I love, because I was, the only thing I was worried about was, are you going to, like, pretend that they're just best friends now? Like, they, the antagonism that they have towards each other.
They've got some history, basically,
yeah,
right?
The way they, like, play off each other and are, like, hostile toward each other is part of the fun. And so I'm glad that they're just still going to be that old married couple.
Fighting for the status of Steve and Jeff.
Definitely. Yes. But yeah, the little back and forth between them was definitely the best part of the trailer. Because, like, yeah, for most of it, I was like, well, okay, this just looks like B-roll from Captain America movies. And then finally, we got to them actually interacting, and I was like, yes, that's what I came for.
Yeah. That's what you really want to watch. That's why they're getting their own show in the first place, is because everybody loves Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan together. And it's like, yes, we just want to watch the two of them play off each other because they're fun. You know, the old couple. That's right. The odd couple. So, yeah, I'm excited about that, especially because we've had to wait because it was supposed to be out in August and they couldn't release it because they hadn't finished filming when COVID hit. So now we finally will get it. The only thing I don't care about is that Sharon Carter's in the show. And I'm like, whatever.
I think it's interesting that you can tell that, like, you can tell they wanted Falcon Winter Soldier to be the first one out because that does look more like the movie. Yeah. That looks more movie-ish, like, as far as, like, bringing the content to television. But WandaVision, I feel like, now makes a more appropriate beginning to Phase 4 because of the whole multiverse thing. So that's going to be like, all right, this is the big seed that's being dropped. Because I think both shows are going to be hinting at, like, two plot threads that will be running simultaneously. So for the, you'll have the multiverse thread, so that'll be continued in, like, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, to an extent, Loki, and maybe What If. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier will introduce, like, the, I think it's setting up, like, the Thunderbolts, or, like, maybe this is where they lay the groundwork for Young Avengers, since we know maybe Isaiah Bradley will be in it. So you'll, you know, and maybe this will tie into Hawkeye, whatever's going on in Hawkeye and Black Widow and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, because of the way that they've had to move things around, trying to figure out what fits in where and like who need, you know, what needs to come out before what to make sense.
Yeah.
Like, or not ruin a surprise or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously WandaVision has to come out before whatever happens in Doctor Strange, but it's, yeah, you know, watching the Loki trailer, which, by the way, speaking about batshit insane, I have no idea what that show is, but I love it already, and I don't really care about Loki. If you look at 202 timestamp in that trailer, I swear to God, it looks like it's Black Widow sitting there, which is interesting because it's like, is there something going on there that you're going to do where Black Widow has to come out before that show. I mean, it's an alternate universe, obviously, but at the same time, it would be weird if the Black Widow movie, which is, you know, about her past, but also obviously we're saying goodbye to her and transition to another character. If that is actually Black Widow, if that is, I mean, it doesn't have to be. It could be somebody completely random, but it sure as hell looks like her in that trailer. What did you guys think? Did you notice that? Because it's the shot right, like, so somebody's sitting on rubble, and it's right before the shot of New York, which is completely destroyed, which you have to assume that, you know, this is the alternate timeline where Loki took the, which stone is that?
The Tesseract, the space stone.
Tesseract, right.
So obviously this is a completely different world, but they're also introducing the idea of the TVA, which, for those who don't know, which I didn't, is the Time Variance Authority, who are in charge of monitoring the timelines, which seems like it's that's going to be something important going forward, considering we're also getting Kang.
Right. I thought it was funny to see them, because I was just like, oh, is it like Legends of Tomorrow, but with Loki?
Basically, right?
Like, Owen Wilson there looked kind of weird.
It was so weird, because it's like, I remember hearing that Owen Wilson was in the show, but you're like, wow, that's Owen Wilson?
Yeah, that's what shocked me, was that he didn't look like when they said Owen Wilson was gonna be in, I expected like Royal Tenenbaums or like the parents Owen Wilson with the long shaggy hair. I didn't expect like dad Owen Wilson.
But yeah, but it's pretty exciting involved in whatever they're doing, because he's gonna stir some trouble.
Yeah. Have you seen that there's speculation that Loki is DB Cooper?
I did see that. That actually is a funny twist that might be like Loki.
That's hilarious.
Whatever Loki's doing through time.
Do you guys know who that is, Camille?
Sorry,
DB Cooper.
DB Cooper.
Yeah. So when was it? The '90s? No. When was it? Eight. I don't remember when it was. But this person known as DB Cooper, basically, like, on a plane, like,
stole a bunch. '70s, wasn't it?
Was it the 70s? I don't remember when it was. Like, I remember hearing about it in passing. Matt had to remind me who it was. But anyway, he stole a bunch of money and literally jumped out of a plane.
Oh my God.
They never found his body. They have no idea who it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the scene at the end of the trailer.
So awesome. That looks like what's happening in the trailer.
That's kind of fun. That's crazy. Right.
Wouldn't that be amusing? It's like, that's why we never found DB Cooper, because he used the Bifrost.
It's Loki. Amazing.
So that's why we never
found
him.
That's how you, like, incorporate.
Like, yeah.
That's how you do it. Loki, just Loki.
Yes.
In various parts of history.
That's awesome. Do you think in the same way that Hawkeye be using it to transition us away from Jeremy Renner and from Clint to Kate, do you think we might be introduced to a female Loki, or at least the idea that he really does change her shape?
I would hope so.
So yeah, because I think the show is going to end with a different person playing Loki.
Yeah, I could say it's either that or it's going to be Kid Loki for Young Avengers. So, like, any of those could be possibilities.
At least the idea that Loki can change and does it often, so that you can keep the character around and it doesn't have to be Tom Hiddleston, and you can play with it more, because, you know, somebody can show up and you don't know it's Loki.
Yeah.
You can cast people and be like, what? So-and-so's playing Loki? What? Yeah. So, that could be interesting. But yeah, that show just looks insane, but that's what I want right now. A lot of the time.
And fun, though. Really fun.
Yes. Fun, insane, yes.
Tom Hiddleston looks like he's having fun, but he also looks a bit older now.
Yeah.
So the hairline, I feel so bad for his hairline. Yeah, that's
all. He does really well with his wig, though. He's like one of the best wigs. Like, because I always forget it's not his hair. The movies we didn't get a lot on, right? Black Widow is still slated for May 5th. They didn't say anything about it. I still don't think we're going to be able to go to movies by May 5th.
I think it's interesting that they didn't. That they basically, like, Feige was very, like he said, in theaters for all the movies, like for Black Widow. So like they're very adamant that Black Widow is going to stay in theaters.
Yeah, when we were talking with Corey the other day, I actually pointed out because like the difference a lot of people don't know with like what HBO would be able to do and what Disney would want to do is that Disney negotiates with movie theaters a much higher percentage of the revenue that they get to keep over all other studios. It's something like everybody else gets 40% and Disney gets 60%. Something crazy like that. It's a lot more. So it's like Disney have more invested in making sure that movies come out in theaters because they actually get more of the money from the theaters than everybody else who it's like, well, they don't get as much as anyway, and they wouldn't have to advertise it in the same way. They might save money. In the end, it might actually work out for them to release it just on their streaming services or, you know, lose some of the box office by releasing it on both.
Yeah, and also Disney doesn't need the stuff on Disney Plus right now. Like they've got plenty of stuff. Like especially like if you know, like you said, we're gonna have WandaVision, then Falcon Winter Soldier, then Loki, and then presumably What If shortly after that. So like there's no shortage of Marvel content on Disney Plus. Whereas like HBO Max needs new stuff on it.
Yes.
And Disney Plus already has. Especially
because their price is twice what Disney Plus is as well.
Yeah, Disney Plus also like has 86 million subscribers compared to HBO Max's like 11 million subscribers. So like, so Disney Plus is definitely not hurting in that respect. They didn't really announce like Black Widow and the only like Black Widow they pretty much just confirmed will still be coming out. Shang-Chi,
is pronounced Shang-Chi. By the way, because I noticed that. I've always been saying Shang-Chi, but Feige said Shang-Chi, so I'm like, okay, thank you for saying that, because now I know.
Now we all know, so now it's Shang-Chi.
Yes.
But that the only we didn't get a trailer and we didn't get any like I thought we would at least get like a first look of the suit, but
yeah, seriously,
they at least gave us like an idea of the cast and who they're all playing. So that's interesting.
I am very annoyed that we still haven't seen very much of Eternals, which would have been coming out like 2 weeks ago had COVID not.
Yeah, happened. I'd expect some more of that.
Yeah, you'd think you'd at least give us pictures, like beyond concept art, give us the actual pictures of the characters, or you know, give us a teaser.
If the Marvel timeline works out. And everything still comes out as planned. I think we're going to get our first teaser for Eternals in April. Because all movies that release in November tend to get their first teaser in April. That's when we got our first look at Ragnarok, Doctor Strange, and Thor the Dark World.
Yeah. No, it's... On normal timelines, I understand that. But it's like the movie was literally supposed to have already come out by now. You could at least just throw us a bone. If there had been a Comic-Con, we would have had like really long trailer. So it's like... You can give us something a little earlier when things have been upended this much. But yeah, I was annoyed by that. I was like, come on. Cause that's like,
I guess also
I'm really excited for that movie. I don't know why, but I am.
I guess also they didn't give a trailer for a movie just because from what I could tell, the Disney investor call was mainly about Disney Plus stuff. Like that's why we got trailers obviously for all the Disney Plus shows.
The one thing making lots of money right now.
Yeah. So I would hope we would get an Eternals trailer soon. I just want to see actual more footage of them.
Yeah. What else did they tell us? So obviously they confirmed Hailee Steinfeld. Like it was most of the announcements for casting was confirming things we already knew. But I did find it interesting that we did not get any confirmation for Moon Knight.
Yeah, that means, I think, do you think the Solid Snake deal maybe is holding it up? Do you think maybe he's too busy now to do Moon Knight?
It's a good question. Well, and the way that they were going on about, like, how playing up the Egyptian story and iconography, I was like, maybe he's not the one they're casting. Maybe they want to actually cast somebody Egyptian, or at least from the area. You know?
I would hope they do, just because I thought that description was so strange when they're like, in the set in the backdrop of Egyptian iconography. It's like a really weird thing to say if you're mm-hmm. not casting Egyptian people.
Yeah. When he started saying that, I was like, are we about to find out that Rami Malek is playing?
Well, that's always been the weird thing about Mark Spector, because Moon Knight definitely falls into that category of character from one country who takes the iconography of a character from a country he's not from. Because Mark Spector in the comics he's American and he's like of Jewish descent. Like, that's always been like his defining thing.
Yeah.
Jewish superhero. So it will be interesting to see, because weren't there casting rumors like that, like they were looking at like Sacha Baron Cohen and Davod Diggs to play Mark Spector for a while?
I had not heard the Diggs one. That's interesting. But Sacha, I could see.
Yeah. So, like, it's just kind of weird. It's, you know, Moon Knight. Yeah, it is. I thought the same thing, that it's interesting that they didn't confirm Moon Knight, but they did finally confirm Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk and Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop and Jonathan Majors as Kang.
And confirming Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk, the way he chose as well. Like, so we got Abomination is coming back.
And obviously we did
get confirmation that Bruce Banner will be in it. But, you know, he did say, too, that because she is a lawyer who specifically represents superhero cases, we may see some familiar faces around. And that was when everybody was like, and Matt Murdock's going to show up. Like, I would assume other people, too, but it's like, yes. Is that your, we can't talk about Spider-Man because that's a Sony movie, but we are going to bring Charlie Cox back because Charlie Cox was amazing as Daredevil. So please, even if he just plays Matt Murdock, just let him be in everything. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, She-Hulk is the perfect avenue to reintroduce Matt Murdock. It really will be curious to see. I'm just so happy they're bringing back Tim Roth as Abomination, because I'm the one person that loves the Incredible Hulk, like, unconditionally. And the fact that, like, we're bringing back, although it really does make me wonder, like, all right, someone's got to get Tim Blake Nelson on the phone, because we got to do the leader at some point. It's been 14 years and I'm just happy, I guess, we're getting Abomination, because I've been waiting for him to show up. I thought he would show up in at least Age of Ultron, and it feels like I've been waiting for him to show up forever now.
Yeah, I just hope they do better CG this time.
Oh, they definitely will. It's been 14 years. I'm also that kind of opens the door, is like, pretty much anyone can come back now.
Yes,
like anyone apparently except Liv Tyler, I guess.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, can we? That means, like, for Armor Wars, can we bring back Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer?
Yes, that was one of the other things. I was like, but okay, Armor. When they said Armor Wars and he started talking about what it was, I was like, Sam Rockwell, and then it was on Don Cheadle, and I'm like, okay, that's cool, but where's my Sam Rockwell? That was like the one good thing about Iron Man 2.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got to show up.
He's amazing. He's so good in that role. That's the only He has to show up. I think there were rumors he was going to be in something, and I can't remember what it was. So, yeah, they just need to bring him back, because he's amazing. Otherwise, I don't care about that show. I mean,
oh, really? I'm excited
because it's MCU.
Armor Wars is actually the one that, actually, of all the new show announcements, actually maybe got me the most excited, just because the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, you can introduce characters that we haven't seen in the MCU yet, like Titanium Man, like Crimson Dynamo, and the one I thought would be really cool is that they brought in Ezekiel Stane, who's the son of Obadiah Stane. That way you can tie this all the way back to the first Iron Man movie and, like, kind of bring everything full circle. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, okay, here's my theory. Because in Armor Wars, one of the villains, he's not like a big part of it, but he's like technically connected to it, is Doctor Doom. So what if this starts laying the groundwork for Doom's appearance in the MCU?
Hey, I would be all over that.
So, and also because like in Armor Wars, like I know Ant-Man and Captain America help out Iron Man in that story. So obviously it's going to be different, but it would be cool to see like if War Machine is able to get like maybe some assistance from like either Ant-Man or Wasp, or, you know, have Falcon or Bucky show up.
Well, basically, we were talking about it. It feels, especially with this much content, that we're really kind of basic, like, and so many people showing up in everybody else's story and stuff, that, am I still there? Oh, no, somebody else dropped out. Sorry.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't me that, when I heard the noise. Anyway, so many people showing up in other people's stories that I'm wondering, or like it feels like the story really is becoming more of a, it's the same story and you're just switching perspective every once in a while, like more so than we've had so far, because, you know, we know everything's going to be bleeding so much into like Doctor Strange, or WandaVision goes into Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange will be in Spider-Man, and, you know, all these things where it's like, yeah, it's more and more of a cohesive story than it has been in the past.
Yeah. So
I think that's one of the, like, really exciting things that I'm getting from all of these shows, which makes me more excited for even the ones that wouldn't necessarily grab me right away. You know, like, I don't care about Hawkeye. Kate Bishop, and I don't know enough about Kate Bishop to be excited for her, although I'm excited because I like Hayley Stanfield. But yeah, I'm excited because I want to know, because now we know that, although he didn't announce it, but there have been rumors that Yelena is in it, right? But he didn't actually announce that.
Yeah, the Hollywood Reporter or Variety reported that Yelena Belova would be in Hawkeye, so.
Yeah. I think other people did too.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So like, those are the things that make me even more excited, is like how this is becoming one more really cohesive story. You know, even though we don't have an end to it, like we don't know when the next Avengers movie or whatever it is going to be, which honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's way down the line.
Yeah. They're going to make us wait for that. They're going to make us wait. And we honestly right now don't need an Avengers movie, because we just have so many different corners to explore. Like, we have the cosmos, we have the mystic side, we have the street level side, we have the government side. So like, we're getting a lot of different stories happening at various different levels. That'll be fun to see, because the fact that, you know, we're getting She-Hulk, which is a lawyer comedy. We're going to get Moon Knight, which will probably be like an action adventure show. Ms. Marvel is going to be like their teen superhero show. Mm-hmm. Ms. Marvel is even going to be bigger than we expected, because it's going to, obviously, she's going to be in Captain Marvel too. So, and the fact that both Ms. Marvel and Monica Rambeau are going to be in Captain Marvel too feels like a very big deal. So it's like, it's not just a Captain Marvel sequel. It's kind of a mini crossover with two Disney Plus series, maybe three if the rumor seems to be true and the timeline works out. Secret Invasion will come out before Captain Marvel 2, which will probably lay the groundwork for Captain Marvel 2.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense. Also, can I just say, I forgot to mention this, you know, at appropriate times, but I love Hayley Steinfeld, and I know that she was always a pick for Kate Bishop, so, like, that's cool. But when they announced America's casting, I was like, they're like besties in the comics. I love their friendship, and I low-key ship them. And now America's 14, and Kate Bishop is Hayley Steinfeld. So clearly that's not...
that's not happening.
I guess, hopefully, Ms. Marvel and America, you know, will be besties instead. Because I was like, okay. And also Riri Williams. I love the actress playing her. I was just thinking, like, now that we know there's going to be a show for her, I was like, oh, but didn't Peter Parker just, like, stole her whole gig? Like, Tony Stark being his mentor post-death? Like,
Matt has a theory about Spider-Man, since it doesn't look like Sony are going under anytime soon, unfortunately. He thinks
unfortunately.
Not unfortunately. Well,
not unfortunately.
We want more studios so we don't have a monopoly.
Yes, we don't want a monopoly. Exactly.
No, I don't want Disney to buy them. I want Apple to buy them so that Marvel get back Spider-Man. But there's still another studio. But anyway. His theory is that since we now know that it is a real multiverse movie or a Spider-Verse movie, that something's going to happen and the multiverse is going to close on Peter Parker and he's not going to be in the MCU anymore.
That's a fair assumption. I would assume that, like, that, yeah. You know, that's how they write out, because Feige's like comment about how Spider-Man is the only hero that can travel between different cinematic universes. At first that was like a cute, like, oh, he can be in Sony movies and Marvel movies. But now it's like, oh, we're literally doing that.
Yeah, that Sony want their own thing and Marvel don't want to have to stick, like, as much as they want Spider-Man, they don't want to have to do what Sony want and, you know, work in Venom and all the shit. So I think, yeah, it would make sense, honestly. It would suck because I like this Peter Parker, but it would honestly make sense, especially since we already know that in the MCU universe, well, I mean, They can do their own stuff. They can do more with Miles and everything. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, there you go, that's Peter goes away, and so you do get Riri getting her real story.
Yeah, I think it's also exciting just because, like,
I approve. Maybe,
I think it's also just exciting because maybe we can do something different with Riri, because, like, I feel like we don't need her to be like Tony Stark mentoring her. I like the idea that she's independent of Tony, that she builds her own suit of armor, and the idea that, like, people just associate her with Iron Man just because she's wearing a suit. So
I mean, or if they somehow got Pepper back, she could be mentoring her. Or
that would be actually really cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. I would actually like for it to maybe be Pepper, like, give Gwyneth Paltrow another chance to wear the rescue armor. You know, it's funny because, Valerie, you and me were just talking that we thought, like, they weren't going to introduce Ironheart because, like, they don't need to. Like,
we thought it was, like, way down the line. So as soon as they announced her, I was like, oh, so they're about to announce Young Avengers. And then they didn't do that. But it's coming, obviously. Yeah.
So that's certainly a big thing, I would say, that we're getting Ironheart. And that just obviously Marvel wants to keep the Tony Stark Iron Man lineage alive, because we're getting Armor Wars, we're getting this, so we're definitely going to keep continuing that. And then I guess the other big thing we should talk about is, at least from the movie side, Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther 2 are both, or not Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder, we now know Christian Bale's playing Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah.
And then, like, Marvel, Mike, that was like the only, like, that was like the moment that where everyone was kind of like waiting for, where we kind of like took a moment to be like somber, because obviously they had to talk about the tragic passing of Chadwick Boseman and how that's going to impact Black Panther 2 and everything.
Yeah, I'm glad that they've confirmed they're not going to recast.
Yes.
I will be interested to see what they do with it, because, yeah, now the obvious move was to Shuri, and then Letitia Wright became problematic.
Yeah, but although I also think that it sounds to me like they're not going to kill off T'Challa for at least a movie, you know, which I think is the right move, because I feel like just as much as Chadwick, because eventually we do need a new Black Panther. He can't be the only one, the last one, only one. But at the same time, T'Challa has a legacy as a character, too. And I think it would suck to just kill him off after he's only been the leader for like a movie and a crossover in which his whole country disappeared. So I like the idea of it being the other characters, like hopefully a Dora Milaje centered film, you know?
Yeah.
And they're carrying out a mission for T'Challa, but we don't see him, you know? And Nakia could just come in and be like, well, you know, he told me last night when we were in bed, this thing.
So yeah, I'm like, you know, people were trying to be like, it's going to be, they're going to somehow bring back Killmonger and it'll be about him. And I'm like, give me an Okoye and Nakia movie. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I don't need the boys.
Like that sort of was the one of the great things about Black Panther is that the world of Wakanda was like it was much bigger than the title character. Like Wakanda yes. and everyone in that movie felt like they could carry their own spin-off films. So like yep. the idea that we're gonna make it very much focused on not just Shuri, but you know, Okoye, Nakia, maybe M'Baku, like there's a whole culture and thing to explore. And I trust Ryan Coogler. I honestly, the thing that shocks me most is that the release date was only pushed 2 months, that I thought they would need more time.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they would just take Black Panther 2 off of the 2022 schedule and either replace it with, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Now we know it's called Quantumanium, which is a great title, by the way.
Yes.
But I thought for sure Black Panther 2 would be pushed to 2023 to, like, give them an extra year to, like, decide what to do moving forward, but... Now we know 2022 will be Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness in March, followed by Thor moving from February to May. So Thor will kick off the summer movie season that year. And then Black Panther will be in July. And then Captain Marvel, which was supposed to be out in July, has now moved to November, which I think is super funny because now The Flash was originally supposed to come out close to Captain Marvel, and they moved to November, and now Captain Marvel followed The Flash. So Carol is coming for Barry.
Sorry, Barry. I'd run if I were you. Pun intended. Anyway, yeah. And okay, well, before we get on to the bigger thing that I know Richard is going to want to talk about, the last announcement. What? So, Secret Invasion, do you guys think it will, like I was saying earlier, between Captain Marvel 1 and the first Iron Man? Like, that would make the most sense, because it's before this group of superheroes were there. So it makes more sense for it to just be Talos and Nick.
My theory is that it's going to take place between Age of Ultron and Far From Home. We're going to see what Nick Fury was up to while he was like off Earth or something like that. Or like, I think just because I don't think they're going to want to de-age Sam Jackson for a whole series. And I think also they want to like have, I feel like Secret Invasion, the way Feige worded it was that it's going to be a big event series. Yeah. So we're going to see other Marvel characters in it.
It's true. It almost wouldn't be as it's anticlimactic if you don't see major superheroes being replaced.
Yeah, so it's going to be, it also could literally be following Far From Home, like, you know, because it could, we're not entirely sure when it will be. I just think it's interesting that what could have been just a simple Nick Fury show, we all, I think, assumed, oh, it's going to be like an espionage show, a spy show. They're like, no, we're going full Secret Invasion.
They always one-up you.
They always do. They never do what you expect they're going to do.
Yeah. And it's funny. When we were having that conversation with Corey the other day, he was like, remember when they announced Civil War, but they said it was Serpent Society? And everybody's like, kind of like, And he's like, do you think anybody would care like this time? And it was like, if they announced Serpent Society, I think right now everybody would be like, yeah, just because it's Marvel.
Yeah. You know,
we would just be like, yeah.
I have a weird theory that like Luke Cage was setting up their version of the Serpent Society, since like three of their villains are named after snakes. They had like a character named Cottonmouth, they had a character named Sidewinder, and they had a character named Bushmaster. So like, I was like, was Luke Cage doing like the grounded version of the Serpent Society? Because that was kind of cool. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the other thing we didn't talk about was the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, yeah, I forgot that was happening.
Corey actually said that they should make it a shot-for-shot remake of the Star Wars Holiday. And so we started casting. We're like, okay, whose home do they go back to?
Wouldn't that
have? And I was like, we don't know that Groot doesn't have a family somewhere.
Yeah.
We could go to Groot's family, but they're waiting for him, and we just didn't know. But yeah, when they said that, I was like, well, oh, animated. And he's like, live action is going to be shot on the set of Guardians 3. And I was like, what?
I'm so excited. Honestly, the fact that we have to
It's going to be amazing.
The fact that we have to wait two holidays for it is what really annoys me. I was like, I want it now.
Yeah,
I know. I want it. I need it on
told
my.
Us that
I need
far it, in advance.
I need it on my Disney Plus now.
That's that's the kinds of crazy shit that I like. That's
what?
Who would have guessed that? Nobody guessed that that was going to be a thing they were going to
mean,
but I love it.
I wouldn't have guessed it, but I've been pitching a Marvel Christmas special since, like, the Avengers came out. I've been saying we need a... Marvel should do, like, a Christmas special and air on ABC for years, but I guess now they have the proper platform for it.
Yes. It will be beautiful and ridiculous. Although, okay, so it's supposed to take place before the movie, before Guardians 3, and it'll come out the Christmas before Guardians 3, which comes out in 2023.
Yeah.
Which is way far away. Anyway, but how are they, I'm confused because I'm like, well, does that mean Gamora can't be in it? Or are they just, like, yeah. Can they use it to fill in the blank between Guardians 2 and Infinity War? Because I'm still sad. That's one of the few things I'm sad about is that there's like 4 years for them where we just don't see anything.
Yeah. I mean, it could also be like.
Or it's just going to be ridiculous and out of context and it doesn't matter.
Well, like,
holiday special is.
I feel like it'll probably connect, but I feel like we'll probably get, like, flashbacks to, like, Peter Quill. Like, you know, we'll probably see, like, other Christmases of his. So maybe one where he tried to, like, explain it to Yondu. Because I doubt James Gunn's going to do this and not bring Michael Rooker back.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably see one with Gamora also.
There you go. It's just going to be ridiculous, and I am here for it.
I just want all of the
weirdest... That's the kind of thing we need. That's really the kind of thing we need.
I just want all the weird cameos. That's what I'm looking forward to, you know.
Get some Muppets in it, too.
Yes.
Even Kurt Russell's, like, CGI'd young Kurt Russell's face for some reason.
Because why not? Yeah, it's very silly, but I like it. We touched on Quantumania, but we didn't really talk about it much. Not that there's a lot to talk about, except have confirmed. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say they recast Cassie Lang, which is kind of, you know.
Because she has to be older.
Yeah.
Oh, again?
And then that we have confirmed that we are getting Jonathan Majors as Kang, which is phenomenal. Matt was... Well, this goes into now what made Richard scream in the middle of a
grocery store. Yep,
in the middle of a grocery store.
Everyone looking at me. Everyone looking at me weird because I'm having like.
Because like, do you think Kang is a bigger villain than that? Right, he's like, as much as I love Ant-Man and the Wasp, he's bigger than that movie.
I mean, Kang is one of those villains that like he's big in theory, but like no one has ever really known what to do with Kang. So like, like, obviously, he's also being used to set up Young Avengers since he's, like, part of that origin story. But, like, Kang is one of those villains... Oh, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, Kang is one of those villains that appears like a bigger deal just because, it's like, he's an Avengers villain. And he's one of the most recurring Avengers villains because he's one of the few that's not, like, a villain of a team member. He's, like, a villain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, Kang is, I guess, a big deal in that he's a time villain, but, like, I've never seen Kang as like the new Thanos. Like he's just been like he's a villain. He's there. So
what Matt was speculating, because we had talked about it before, that you know that would be a really good, because like what is it that draws Kang, right? Like something in the comics, it's related to Cap, and that it destroys Kang's future, and that's why he comes back because of Cap. So you could actually still, like, if we can somehow, because we just want to get Chris Evans back someday, if you want to figure out a way to, like, you could make it about the fact that it wasn't that Cap woke up, it's that he then went back that caused some kind of problem. And, you know, years down the line, you make it related to that and Chris Evans can have a cameo or whatever. But, like, what Matt was suggesting, which I thought would be kind of cool, is that, okay, so... you've got to assume they want, part of the reason they want the Fantastic Four is they want Doctor Doom, because Doctor Doom is one of their best villains, right? But he's also great because he thinks the world is his, right? So if there's an outside force that's a threat to Earth, he can join the good guys, not because he is a good guy, but because he's like, well, no, I need to stop that. And then I can turn on you all again.
Yeah.
So what you could do is something with that where it's like, okay, Doom gets introduced in Fantastic Four. He's, and you maybe start him as the villain there, but then Kang becomes a bigger threat and he joins the team, the Earth team, whatever, to help fight against that. But then he turns around and he becomes the real villain that he is. You know, that could be a 10 to 15 year story.
I could definitely see that. I mean, yeah, they'll definitely bring Doom in. Doom is going to be like the new Loki where like he'll help the heroes, but then he's going to turn on them.
Yeah.
So like, I could see them doing that with like Kang, with Galactus, with pretty much any major threat to the MCU. Yeah. That Doom will probably be like, Doom is probably like going to, like, you know, insert his way in somehow.
So yeah, we're getting Fantastic. Did we get a date for Fantastic
Four?
No
date. Or
it's just an announcement. They're officially working on it. And John Watts is going to direct, which I'm not excited about. I mean,
why aren't you excited about it? Because I'm like, well, I'm mixed on it.
Homecoming was not good. Far From Home is, I like it, but not because of his directing. It's mostly because of what they did with the story. And I liked the way that what they did with Mysterio. And that was actually really good. He's not an exciting director.
Yeah, I'm mixed on this because like I've liked the Spider-Man movies. I haven't loved them, but I like them. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because I liked his movie Cop Car, and part of me thinks that like part of the reason like that he has to answer to so many bosses when it comes to the Spider-Man movies. He's got to answer to Sony. He's got to answer to Marvel. He's taking notes like nobody's business. So, and I know Marvel's wanted him for another project. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm very protective of the Fantastic Four. They're like my favorite characters. So I myself would have gone with someone a little bit more, I don't know, just something different. I would have wanted like my top picks were either the couple that did Little Miss Sunshine or the woman that did an Obvious Child. And it's also weird that when it comes to MCU directors, Peyton Reed's wanted to do a Fantastic Four movie forever.
Yeah, we kind of figure the only reason that he's not getting it is that because of when they want to do it, he can't do that and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, so that probably hints that they're both coming out in like 2023. Because I did the math, and Marvel has four release dates in 2023 that have been unclaimed. And those would be February 17th, May 5th, July 28th, and November 3rd. So my guess would be Ant-Man the Wasp comes out in February, and then Guardians of the Galaxy in May, and then Fantastic Four in July, which leaves November would be Blade, maybe?
Maybe. It's a nice holiday movie.
Look, Blade is a good movie for whenever. I'll take Blade. Like, that's why I'm not running Marvel, because I would have pitched a Blade holiday special. A very Blade-mas.
Oh, wow.
Although now, Marvel, make a Halloween special and make it Blade-related. That way you have a Christmas special and a Halloween special.
There you go.
Well, here's an idea. What if, since, like, didn't Blade kind of appear in What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series?
He does, right? Actually, yes.
Yes.
And Taika Waititi is behind what, I don't know, they can just put everything together. Bring them in. Bring all the vampires.
Give me Nadia and Laszlo and Blade.
Make that part of the multiverse of madness.
I like it.
Just have the vampires.
Just putting it out there.
I want Jackie Daytona in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, that's too funny. One thing that stood out like a sore thumb, though, all those announcements, not a single mention of mutants.
They definitely, or maybe that's the, you know, I know people are speculating that's the big like twist in WandaVision is that, you know, that's the mutant explanation. Honestly, you know, they because of the X-Men, like Dark Phoenix and New Mutants, you can hold off on mutants for a little bit. Wait a few years.
They don't need it.
You know, we might still see Storm in Black Panther 2 or, you know, Mystique or Rogue in Captain Marvel 2. It'll be kind of fun if they start dropping mutants in, like, throughout the films.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's, like, maybe that's one of the things for the Phase 4 is they, like, drop mutant characters throughout. And then you build up to the X-Men. Look, with the way the multiverse stuff is going, there's I would say more than a 50-50 shot Deadpool shows up in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, you think so? That could be interesting.
Deadpool showing up in one of these multiverse movies.
I'm surprised they're making that movie. Deadpool 3, by the way.
I mean, I'm not based off just that box office, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, Kevin Feige's like, I'm not going to mess with money.
That's true.
It's just literally just begin Deadpool 3 with like Deadpool in the offices of Disney. And like,
I honestly just want to see Deadpool 3 for the jokes he makes about the Disney buyout.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only reason I want to see that movie happen.
Someone's like, when did you get here? He's like, I've been here the whole time. Says my new contract. I got a better deal.
He would say something like that.
Yep.
And oh god, I'm just so excited for Fantastic Four. When I saw that logo, I like I said, I screamed, and I literally the second I went to online to find the logo, and I made it my phone background. I've been looking at the four in the Marvel Studios for like 5 days now.
That's cute. Yeah, the minute he said something about family, I was like, ah!
What?
Yeah.
That was exciting.
So, of everything that Disney announced, what would you guys say are your, like, top five things that you're, like, the most excited for? Or the things that, like, got your interest, like, immediately?
New, or are we only counting new, or just, like, everything that's coming?
I guess everything.
Also, like, So Star Wars, Marvel, everything.
Yeah, Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, just everything. Like of the massive Disney empire.
I would say Encanto, Ahsoka, WandaVision, Miss Marvel, a Tiana series, so she can finally not be a frog. Is that all? Am I done now?
This is tough. Just five. Can I make all five of my Marvel? Because it's like the only.
Sure, no. You can make all five of them Marvel.
It's going to be. Well, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Eternals, honestly. I'm really excited about that. I need to read some Moon Knight comics because that sounds right up my alley. I'm trying to be good and think of other things, but no. Of the Star Wars, like, would I put any of the Star Wars and the Disney stuff on the list? Not really. I wasn't floored by Ahsoka, so I actually, like, I was excited about it before we met her, and then I met her and I was like, eh, she's alright.
I don't know.
You're just trying to sort through all the Marvel stuff?
There's so much Marvel stuff that just doesn't. I probably Miss Marvel. Probably. She looks adorable. I liked what I've read of the comic, and I like that they're gonna put her into, like, we already know she's gonna be in Captain Marvel too. I really like that. So yeah, Miss Marvel. What would be five? I don't know. Honestly, it might actually be WandaVision, because I do feel like now I'm really intrigued to see. But that, I feel a lot of that is because we've now seen so much and it's so soon. So that I'm really excited about it because of that and where it's going to lead. But yeah, so yes, it's all Marvel. If I had to pick of the Star Wars stuff, the thing I'm probably most excited about is The Acolyte. Because it is not during the Skywalker saga. What about you, Camille? Can you do it?
Yeah, mine's a mix. Oh, I had time. I had the most time of everyone to think about it now. So, Loki, because I'm unapologetic Tom Hiddleston trash, so forever.
I'm unapologetic Sebastian Stan trash, so it's fine.
So, Tom Hiddleston. And it really looked pretty. It really looks super fun.
It does. It looks
so,
really good.
So, it would probably whether or not you are a Tom Hiddleston fan, it's just Loki. I was so excited. Encanto, actually, like Tatiana. Mm. Just for those 30 seconds of dance music, like I felt an instinctive reaction of just dancing to 30 seconds of music. I don't even know what it's about, but it sounds great.
It does.
Ahsoka, I guess. Then Raya the Last Dragon is my fourth thing because Southeast Asian Disney princess, please. So, yes, important to me. And weirdly enough, Sister Act 3.
No, that's
it's so random.
That's not weird at all. I think that's kind of dope. I like that that's on awesome. Your list. That's cool. Like,
yeah.
Be excited for Sister
Eclectic.
Act
3. Eclectic.
I was excited.
Of the Disney stuff, I would put Encanto and Disenchanted.
Oh, yeah, Disenchanted. But, yeah, I just felt more...
Yeah, Encanto. No, that's adorable.
Yeah, so there, that's my top five. Yay.
Yeah. So much stuff.
So much.
I know. It's almost too much, but not enough. The crazy thing is, this is just the stuff that Disney is putting out that we have to watch over the next few years. Or we get to watch over the next few years. It's exciting.
Well, yeah, and this doesn't even cover, like, everything. Because, like, even the stuff that Disney owns. Because, like, a lot of this was, like, Disney Plus focused. So, like, they didn't even mention anything about the Avatar sequels coming up. Or really any of the stuff left over from the Fox purchases.
But is anybody actually excited about the Avatar movies?
I am. I'm.
Really?
I am.
No, yeah. Really.
My really? Hot takes. My hot takes are coming in. I still maintain that Avatar is a very good movie and that the
hate is
overblown. I will go see Avatar 2 unironically excited, and I will. Look, if James Cameron wants to spend the rest of his life making Avatar movies, I'll let him. If I've learned anything, it's like I'm not going to bet against James Cameron anymore.
Hey, that's great. If it brings you joy, that's all that matters.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like the first movie, so I won't. Oh, we've random, but we forgot to talk. There's an Alien series coming up.
Oh, yeah.
That, I was like, is that going to be on Disney Plus or is that a Hulu? Because I was like, that can't be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's rated R. That'll be on Hulu. You know what's funny? That one, I feel like I would have been more excited for that like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But the very presence of Ridley Scott in that now makes me just really like nervous.
At least Noah Hawley is going to be involved. So that helps lately.
Yeah. I'm mixed on that because like I like Fargo. I never finished Legion just because like it's not that it was bad. It's just like it was a little too.
Legion is so good.
And also, I
haven't watched the fourth season of Fargo. Have you?
I have not. I have not watched that one yet.
Okay.
I haven't watched any of Fargo.
I was going to say, I haven't watched any of Fargo, even though I've only heard amazing things.
And I just heard Lucy
but
in
the Sky. The first three were pretty good. I just don't know what the fourth is yet, so I can't say.
And then I heard
Legion is great, yeah.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, just I heard, was just awful. So, like, I'm just amazed that, like, they were like, let's get, you know. So, I feel like my excitement for an Alien series has sort of been tempered by... Like, again, had Ridley Scott written right now, just like Prometheus and Alien Covenant were just terrible.
Prometheus was terrible. I did not see Alien Covenant because Prometheus was terrible.
I think actually Alien Covenant is probably worse than Prometheus. I will give Prometheus points for some stuff, but Alien Covenant, I was just like, oh, this made me mad.
Wow. That's pretty bad. Yeah. Well, is that everything? Mostly we just get lots of really exciting content. And it's something for everyone.
After months of like scrambling for content, suddenly like a deluge of stuff.
I'll just say it's kind of weird. I it's weird that they kept saying content though in the conference call. For some reason I was like, is this really what you want to call it? Content? Like, it's like, you know, you guys are making shows. Don't call it content. That just makes it seem like it's a number to you guys. I know Disney is a corporation, but like, and I know it's an investor call, but like, come on, guys. Hide it a little bit.
It's not supposed to be for entertainment. They get They get more exciting when it's the Hall H panel or D23 panel, and they get to be like, and so-and-so is going to play so-and-so, and they're here now for 5 seconds, and they will say five words.
Yeah.
We paid like, all that money to bring them to just take a picture and say some words.
And it generates us how many clicks in
such. I would say that being in that Hall H panel for Marvel last year was one of my top five fan moments. Cause the hype being in that room is I can't even tell you. It's so everybody's freaking the fuck out. And it's just really nice to be a fan or surrounded by all those people. That's one of the main reasons I miss going to the movies. Like, you know, my parents have basically a movie theater up in their attic, so I can see like on a big screen stuff, but I miss that fan experience.
Yeah.
And so that's what the investor call doesn't give you. You don't get, you know, as much as I'm like texting everybody or tweeting or on Facebook about it, it's still not the same with when you're in a room with like 6,600 other people and everybody's screaming when Mahershala Ali comes out and we found out there's going to be a Blade movie. You know, like, yeah, it's just not the same.
What I would have given to see that.
Well, now you have to make sure that you are there whenever they show us footage.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm going to make sure once I get a confirmation, once I know cameras are rolling on Blade, I'm going to be like, all right, I need to get to Comic-Con right now.
Yes. You're like, so I will line up right now for Hall H.
So you can't camp out here right now. Comic-Con's not for another like 7 months. I'm sorry. Do you not know that Blade's coming, sir?
Oh, now we get it. Okay, you can stay. So, as always, for more news, reviews, interviews, etc., go to withanaccent.com. Follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Withanaccent TV on YouTube. And the podcast is at Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks for joining us. Bye. Oh, bye. I forgot to say, by the way, this is probably our last episode for the year.
right.
Yeah.
So happy 2020.
See you next year. Right? Happy holidays if you celebrate any.